Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
We've all been meeting, and we've kind of taken the actual assets that we have related to subdivisions, and we've got it pared down to about 101 subdivisions that we consider simple maintenance, if you will. They're not the ones that have holding ponds with big, huge trees in them. So the idea is to establish an MSBU for stormwater. And as you can see currently, that is kind of handled through the Road and Bridge Fund for all of the stormwater maintenance facilities that we have. And so by establishing an MSBU, we provide a direct funding source that has to provide a direct benefit.
So this is Sabrina White. She is the budget director for Santa Rosa County. And this is during that workshop that took place last week. Lots of very interesting things that came out of that workshop. And essentially, with the failure of the local option sales tax 0.5% increase, that's of a $15 million would have been made. Now it's a loss or a not made, whatever you want to think about it. The current 0.5% makes about $15 million a year. That's money that goes to infrastructure projects. And this other one would have been, it would have been more for, you know, to fund some of the things that have to be done. There is a giant deficit in the amount of money, $185 million in projects now and $355 million in more projects that aren't even on the, like, absolute hot list, including $155 million to replace the bridge to Navarre. Anyway, Santa Rosa County needs money, is what the leaders are saying, is what the administrator and the commissioners are all saying. Question is, how do you get it? Well, for example, one way would be an MSBU on stormwater maintenance. And so, as you heard there, Sabrina, talking about 101 subdivisions that all need their ponds cleaned and kept tidy and mowed and all that kind of stuff. And that currently is out of general revenue. So you pay property taxes on your house based on the value of the house. And that money goes into the general fund. And that general fund is then reallocated towards a variety of things, one of which is roads and bridges, which is taking care of, you know, in this case, infrastructure like the stormwater ponds. Well, the problem is you got more ponds than they can manage. You need better service. People are calling more often and complaining. And how are you going to solve that problem?
There's just been a substantial increase in people wanting more service at our holding ponds. They want the grass cut more often. They want it to look better. They want it to function properly. And so what we're presenting here is basically the concept: establish the MSBU, put it out for bid, which if the board so chooses, we would put it out hopefully in the next month for these 101 subdivisions and get the price back from contractors to see what it would cost to do so. And then once we have that price, we can determine the rate that would be put on every parcel. So it's 6,363 lots. They would all pay a fee that went specifically for stormwater maintenance.
So there's about 6,300 homeowners, and they're looking at putting an MSBU on you. Now, I understand that you may not know what an MSBU is. You may not know the difference between an MSTU and an MSBU. They're terrible names. They're terrible names. Here's the short version. An MSBU is a fee that everybody pays the same. An MSTU, or a municipal services taxing unit, is a property tax, like an ad valorem, basically. It's not based on the value of your house. It's a percentage, okay? So the B, they ought to call it MSFU, not because of FU, but because municipal services fee unit would be clearer. You could have a fee, and then you could have a tax. Tax based on the property value of the home, fee based on the fact that there is a home, okay? So I don't know what the number is. They don't know what the number is. The idea is, let's put out an RFP. Let's see what people come back with. And it's not that they have to do all 101, but, you know, this company might bid on handling these 20 subdivisions. That company might bid on handling those 40 subdivisions. And if you put all this together and you come up with what seems like the best service and the best price, you're eventually going to get a cost for paying for what the county currently does. And then if you divide that across all the homes, you're going to get a number. Nobody knows what the number is right now. I don't even want to make up a number. But, you know, it could be a lot of different things. So in a certain way, the county is proposing to kind of act like an HOA. You know, you pay a fee to your HOA and the HOA takes care of stuff. Okay. Well, when you have all of these subdivisions, which may or may not have HOAs because they may or may not have county maintained infrastructure, which is the key, you're basically talking about an HOA fee. But it's, I don't know the size of it. Okay. And then that would pay for it. And then you would get better service. You would get more responsive service because it'd be, it's a higher cost. And the money that currently goes to pay the employees of the county to do this work inadequately, because there aren't enough of them, there's not enough money, based on the higher demand for service, that money could be freed up to do other things. So this is a way of getting more money to free up finances in order to do other improvements, right? That's kind of the idea. Now, this decision that was not even a voting decision, it was just a guidance to staff, was let's go and look and see. Because if you have, you'd have to have, you know, public input. I mean, there was public input. Anyway, this is a very preliminary thing, but that's what they're looking at doing. And the issue, the driving issue here, is that people aren't happy with the current level of service, and let's look around at an alternative.
And again, the driving force is we're not meeting the level of service that the citizens are wanting in their communities. So we have to do something different.
And if you do capital projects, you know, if you have to replace a pipe or you have to dig out a pit or you have to something that's not just routine maintenance and it costs $500,000 or $1 million or whatever, well, you could then basically tack that on to the MSBU for that subdivision. Not everybody across the whole county would have to pay, but you could, you know, if there's a problem in that area, then the people in that area would basically pay a part of the fee to fix that problem in that area. Again, kind of similar to how an HOA would work with your HOA fees. Okay, that's your part one. What do you think about that? Would you be willing to pay a stormwater MSBU fee in Santa Rosa County in order to get presumably better service for keeping those things clear, and also potentially to free up money to go to other things from the county like roads, or not? That's question number one. Question number two, what about the sheriff? 437-1620, John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. And so let's see here. If you're still traveling on Highway 90 right around East Spencerfield Road, you'll just see some minor delays. An accident was cleared up from earlier. Looks like we're seeing just some minor slowdowns on I-10 eastbound as you approach the Highway 29 intersection there. I mean, the exit there through that construction zone, seeing some delays. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you've got a home improvement project, you need hammers and nails or, you know, whatever supplies you need to work on stuff or safety equipment or a new drill, you know, Pensacola Hardware, they've got all that stuff. And they've got fantastic housewares, gifts, you know, gumbo pots and Yeti merchandise in the front of the store. But if you go there, in addition to all the fantastic stuff, and it really is, I mean, like all kinds of things, you go there and it's just a whole different feel for a hardware store, but also advice. So you're thinking about doing something for the first time or, you know, the fourth time, whatever, and you want to get an input on maybe how you can do it better, they're good for that. They're fantastic at that. In fact, if you build things for a living, oh, man, they're your people. Like, that's the bread and butter. For 174 years, that's the thing that they've been doing. It's helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola, the oldest business in Florida, one of the 50 oldest in the entire country. And, yeah, they have been helping people create things and build buildings and put stuff up and make life better all around Pensacola, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Do you love church? Ephesians 5 tells us that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Acts 20:28 says that Christ purchased the church with his blood. 1 Timothy 3 tells us that the church is the pillar and ground of truth. So obviously, the New Testament places a huge priority on the church. If you're a Christian but not a member of a local Bible preaching church, I urge you to get involved as soon as possible. You possess unique spiritual gifts that can be used within the body of believers. Hebrews 10 tells Christians to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. God wants us to worship him and provoke others to love and good works. Attend a Bible-believing church this Sunday.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Join Keith and Pam, your insurance experts with Verus Health Partners, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Learn how to save money on your healthcare costs. Find the right insurance products that best fits the needs for you and your family as you head towards retirement or are looking for options now. They will be taking your calls and questions today at 9 with Verus Health Partners on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I love you. I really love you.
Ditto.
You having trouble placing that one, John?
Yes, I am.
Demi Moore? Patrick Swayze, Pottery Wheel.
Oh, ghost.
Yeah.
I got you. You got me.
720 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I mentioned a moment ago we were talking about the possibility of having, and this is all very preliminary at this point, but having an MSBU, a Municipal Services Benefit Unit, on all of your county subdivisions in Santa Rosa County, about 6,300 homes, that would pay for stormwater maintenance. That's part one. Then the part two... Again, all within the general context of trying to improve customer service, but also trying to find ways to fund things that people want to have more of. And the second one was, well, what about the sheriff's department? What about how you fund the sheriff's office?
Well, fun fact, currently law enforcement expenditures are about 44% of the general fund revenue. So just a little less than half is what we're spending on law enforcement. Much needed, very much appreciated, but it's got a big price tag. So what we're presenting to you is basically during our annual budget process this year, if you also chose, we would work with the sheriff and his staff to develop the right combination of fees for an MSTU.
So, and again, an MSBU is a flat fee. Okay, MSTU is an ad valorem based on the property value. And what they're talking about there is creating an MSTU for the sheriff's department so that your law enforcement costs would be right there on your tax bill. Now, I assume, okay, that what we're talking about is reducing the general millage rate and creating the MSTU as a kind of a trade-off so that you see where the funding is going. And by the way, I like that, generally speaking. I like the idea that, you know, when I'm paying my tax bill, I can see, okay, this many $100 is going to the sheriff and this many $100 or $1,000, you know, is going to the library or whatever. I personally like that. And that seems to be what they're aiming at here.
What does this do? It gives us transparency. So over to the right, you can see the tax bill. And so by establishing an MSTU, when everyone gets their tax bill, they then see how much is going to law enforcement.
Right. And that would be dedicated funding. I'm assuming there would still be some funding on top of that from the general fund that would go to the sheriff, because it's not going to be just all this money goes to the sheriff and no extra and no less, I would think, would be how this would work. But, you know, details will be forthcoming. But as Sabrina says, nobody looks at the budget documents. Everybody looks at their tax bill. So this is a way of getting people information about how they're going to, you know, have their tax dollars spent. Commissioner Colton Wright.
I think any way that we can show the taxpayer where their money is going is a good thing. And showing it on the trim notice is usually the easiest way that the vast majority of residents that own property and pay taxes, it's where they're going to see it.
Right. I mean, you would actually see what's happening. Now, there are all kinds of costs involved in running the sheriff's office, including just basic startup costs, which has gotten really high. Bobby Riquette, they were talking about the kind of the past costs, and that's been updated. We're actually going to talk about this a little bit with Sheriff Bob Johnson coming up next hour at 8:10. But here's what they had to say.
I know for a fact that the sheriff's department has a problem, not as much now as they did a few years ago, of retaining deputies, and it's because of cost. I'm sure it's gone up since I checked into it a couple of years ago when I was talking to him, but it's like $40,000 to get a deputy trained where you can put him out on the road. It's probably closer to 50 or 60 now. They get that years under their belt, they go next door and make $7,000 to $10,000 a year more, and that's one of the battles he's dealt with.
Commissioner Burkett, real quick, not to interrupt you, but just because the sheriff mentioned this number to me recently, they said right now, not counting the vehicle, but just to get the deputy in the door, salary plus equipment's about $100,000.
Okay. Oof. Just to start. Wow. So the theory here would be, when you're paying your tax bill, instead of paying a general amount and then seeing it broken out by like the school district or whatever, you would also see it broken out, called an MSTU, for the sheriff's department, and see how much of your money is going to fund law enforcement. And, you know, somebody writes in, well, Andrew, you can't assume that if they create an MSTU and then they're going to reduce millage. Oh, yeah, but I mean, they have to. You can't like just add a 40% increase to the tax bill. People would, I mean, you know, it wouldn't be just the pitchfork posse with pitchforks. It would be everybody. But in an effort to create transparency, I frankly envision, they haven't talked about this, but I would envision them maybe considering something like that for roads and highways and, you know, bridges too. You know, trying to make it so that basically when you're looking at your tax bill, you see the list of the things it goes to fund. And then there'd be general fund, which would be the kind of the catch-all other stuff. But it would help create more knowledge by people about where your money goes. It would also help sort of regulate or regularize the funding streams for some of these things. Because, I mean, right now, it's the problem is, again, they're not getting the additional 0.5%, which they were been kind of hoping for. It's $50 million a year. And they have these massive projects that are just not able to be funded at the current level, and very low staffing, which is a byproduct of having very low taxes, right? So they're talking about foregoing projects. I mean, you know, Commissioner Wright was talking about foregoing a $1 million project, the Alex boat ramp upgrades, because the residents don't really want it. $5 million improvements to River Birch Road, which is a catastrophe and always has been, but they found a solution to that that they can kind of temporarily limp by for 5 to 8 years, and that money can go back into the general fund. I mean, this, all your commissioners are talking about projects that they really either thought they were going to be able to do or would like to do, and they're not going to be able to do them, and kind of giving up some of that stuff. Because you can't vote down, look, the wastewater treatment plant, you can't vote down a wastewater treatment plant that was funded and ready to go and permitted and paid for and not have consequences. You can't vote down a $15 million revenue source and not have consequences. It just is. And I don't, and I said this when the vote on the loss was coming up. I said, I don't take a position on these issues. I don't have to pay the tax. It'd be wrong for me to argue for it too much one way or the other. But just its choices. And, you know, one choice is to pay less taxes. But if you pay less taxes, you have less services, period. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. No new accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. If you're traveling eastbound on 98 through the Windhaven Beach area, we're seeing about a 15 to 20 minute slowdown there just due to congestion. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And also, there are two traffic lights that are going to go active starting tomorrow as yellow flashers, okay? Starting tomorrow at Soundside Drive on 98, there's going to be a yellow. It's going to go full active a week from tomorrow. Well, it's a week from Wednesday, actually, on the 12th, all things holding equal. And then there's one on in Escambia County on 9 Mile Road at Ashland that's going to start flashing yellow tomorrow and is going to be red, yellow, green starting a week from tomorrow on February the 11th. So just be aware that that's coming, and you may see that, and don't be freaked out and surprised by it. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, police have cleared streets and a freeway in Los Angeles of protesters upset over federal immigration enforcement. Thousands of people were protesting the Trump administration's immigration policies. They blocked both sides of a freeway there on Sunday afternoon, causing a huge traffic backup. Protesters made their way onto the freeway multiple times throughout the day on Sunday.
There is nothing in this world that persuades me as a citizen of the rightness of your cause than by increasing my traffic jam with your stupid protest.
Absolutely.
You had me at roadblock. Go on, sir.
Nothing puts you in a better mood. The Army Corps of Engineers is beginning salvage efforts in the Potomac River after the deadly mid-air collision near Reagan National Airport last week. Pre-staging efforts with the Coast Guard and the Navy's supervisor of salvage and diving began on Friday. They've got a crane, barge, deck barges, dive boats, and some surface-supplied dive systems on hand. Well, the Kansas City Chiefs and Philadelphia Eagles are in New Orleans for Super Bowl 59. They're preparing for the game Sunday at the Superdome. There's new report out, Andrew, about the cost of snacks for the game. A Wells Fargo report shows feeding 10 people for the game on Sunday will run $139, 10 cents more than last year. They say prices at the grocery store are up about 1.8% from last year.
Does that include avocados?
Well,
buy them today before the tariffs go into effect tonight.
I don't have avocado information, but the price of chicken wings.
Oh my God,
is
they're so
up
expensive.
7%.
Chicken wings
are
twice as expensive as chicken breasts or chicken thighs. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like $5-6 a pound versus, you know, $3 usually when I buy them. I mean, it's ridiculous. Unbelievable. Also, $14 a person. I mean, I don't know. You start charging admission, don't you?
You almost have to.
$130-plus bucks. For, anyway. All right, David. Thanks so much for the update. What was your first story? Oh, the roadblock stuff. Okay, I'm going to copyright. I'm going to coin a phrase. You ready? It's time graffiti. It's time graffiti. They are defacing people's time. They are interfering with people's use of time and costing you time out of your life. You spray paint a building, you damage public property. You block a road with your stupid protest, and you are taking life time away from people. It's time graffiti. You both looking at me like you don't get the phrase.
No, I like
you're
it.
Like, okay.
I like
yeah,
it.
You're wearing on you a little
in.
Bit.
Yeah, okay. It has to sink in.
All right, it's a thinker. I never do that. Oh, I have Pensacon tickets. Two tickets to Pensacon. Be caller number 4 right now. You win.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. New tariffs on imports from Canada, Mexico, and China take effect at midnight, ordered by President Trump.
These tariffs could mean higher prices for consumers, but President Trump said yesterday it will be worth it.
You may have short-term a little pain, and people understand that, but long-term, the United States has been ripped off by virtually every country in the world.
Meanwhile, Canadian officials are calling the tariffs economic warfare.
Fox business correspondent Lydia Hu. Beyonce wins her first ever Grammy for her album of the year for Cowboy Carter.
I just feel very full and very honored. It's been many, many years.
She's joined by Los Angeles firefighters on stage at the awards ceremony on CBS. Kendrick Lamar wins 5 Grammys, including Song and Record of the Year for Not Like Us. Chappell Roan wins Best New Artist, Best Rock Performance, Now and Then by the Beatles, an old demo cleaned up with new technology. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got sunshine, 45 degrees in Pensacola today. 5 people were hurt in a hit-and-run crash on Highway 29 just south of Century over the weekend. Officials say a truck had slowed down to make a turn when it was hit from behind by an SUV. That truck rolled. The SUV came to rest in the paved median. Witnesses said the driver of the SUV then fled on foot. And then somebody later returned in a pickup truck and got items from the SUV, but also left before police arrived at the scene. The 5 occupants of the truck, including some children, were all taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Biscayne County EMS FHP is asking anybody with information on the driver of that SUV to contact them or to call Crime Stoppers. A pedestrian was hit and killed on 9 Mile Road near Holsbury Road Friday. FHP says the 29-year-old was crossing the roadway, walked into the path of a vehicle driven by a 17-year-old Gulf Breeze girl. That happened just before 11 on Friday night. Troopers say the girl was not able to avoid the collision. The investigation into that accident is still ongoing. The new Paper Park and Cantonment is now open on the 68-acre property that used to be the International Paper Golf Course. The park was built as a collaborative effort between Escambia County and International Paper. They held a ribbon-cutting event late last week.
One of the best days since I've been in office. It's the culmination of 3 years of work in partnership with International Paper, and now we get to see the fruits of those labors and those conversations.
District 5 Commissioner Stephen Berry, during that ceremony last week, Paper Park has a walking path, playground, 18-hole disc golf course, and a covered pavilion with some picnic tables. It's at the corner of 29 and Muskogee Road. Well, Governor Ron DeSantis may be in a fight he can't win. That is, at least according to one Republican lobbyist who talked to Politico.com. Lobbyist was discussing the feud between DeSantis and the legislature over the special session that the governor called to address illegal immigration. Lawmakers, of course, ended the special session, then called their own session. and passed a bill that stripped the governor of some of his power when it comes to immigration. DeSantis said he plans to veto that bill. The lobbyist says that the legislature will probably win this fight because they have the support of President Trump. A second lobbyist telling Politico that the breach could take a long time to heal. The upcoming legislative session, they say, could be nasty. A Tampa native making a name for herself in the music world, Blake High School alumni Jayla Hickman goes by the stage name of Dochi, and she won a Grammy last night for Best Rap Album, Alligator Bites Never Heal. It's the first Grammy for the 26-year-old. She's the third woman to win for Best Rap Album. In her acceptance speech, she said she calls herself the Swamp Princess because she is from Florida, from Tampa, and she encouraged record labels to go there because there's a lot of talent. It's 735 at News Radio 92.3, and John's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Generator Source, powering Pensacola businesses with industrial generators to commercial backup systems with the most trusted brands. Expert installation, 24/7 support, that's GeneratorSource.com. No new accidents to let you know about right now. But if you're traveling I-10 between Pine Forest and Highway 29, we're starting to see about a 10 to 15-minute delay there. Also, if you're headed southbound on 29 approaching Highway 9 Mile Road, if you're approaching 9 Mile Road, just be aware that there's some 10-minute slowdown on there. And also slowdown happening on Windhaven Beach going eastbound. So if you're 98 eastbound, you've got some delays there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And thank you very much, John. Now a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be seeing beautiful sunny skies today with a high near 70 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 57. On Tuesday, fog possible in the morning with a high near 70 degrees in the afternoon with sunny skies. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 58. Foggy morning again possible for Wednesday morning, getting into the sunny skies as you go through the afternoon with a high near 72. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
48 right now in Pensacola, 46 in Gulf Breeze, 42 in Milton. Your next news at 8 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with your money now. President Trump has implemented 10% tariffs on China. The additional 10% tariffs would reduce China's real GDP growth by 50 basis points this year. That's according to economists at Goldman Sachs. UBS expects China's growth in 2025 to come in at 4%. Cryptocurrencies tumbled after President Trump hit Canada, Mexico, and China with long-threatened import tariffs. The price of Bitcoin was last lower by 7% at just over $93,700, according to Coinmetrics. House Republicans are considering treating work benefits such as employer-provided transportation, free food, and on-site gyms as a new source of taxable income to help pay for President Trump's tax cuts. These tax proposals are still in the early stages. Futures are sharply lower after Trump imposed the brand new tariffs. Friday, the Dow Industrials lost 337, the NASDAQ down 54, the S&P 500 down 30. That's your money now.
Sarah, Happy New Year. You look amazing. How are things with you and Mark?
Lisa, I can't thank you enough for telling me about Wave Men's Health. We've totally rediscovered each other. Mark's working out. Oh, and we're doing more as a family than laying around watching TV.
I told you, they're incredible. My husband and I had the same experience. It's like having that spark all over again, isn't it?
Exactly. It's more than the physical. It's the connection, the energy. It's the best gift we could have given ourselves.
This new year, make the resolution that changes it all. Wave Men's Health brings you proven options for ED, low testosterone, and enhancement. Reignite your drive, rebuild your confidence, and show up in the moments that matter most.
Here's to more love and more joy in the year ahead.
Cheers to that.
Book your appointment today at WaveMen'sHealth.com or dial 850-266-7020. That's WaveMen'sHealth.com or dial 850-266-7020. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
All the people gave, and the poor got paid. And out of speakers, I did speak. I wore my sneakers, but I'm not a sneak. My Adidas touches.
They thought that they could do some window dressing and then just kind of leave, and that you guys would all just accept that, even though the policy was terrible and they weren't getting the job done. Our voters are smarter than that. They thought if they put Trump's name on a weak bill, that people would just say, oh, it must be good just because Trump's popular. People have seen through that. They did things that are going to make it worse to combat illegal immigration than we're even doing now. If that bill passed, we would have been more effective under even Biden in some respects than now, when we have a willing partner in Donald Trump, because they're trying to kneecap state enforcement efforts.
So the level of rhetoric has gone to 11 on this question of whose bill, which special session, and who loves Trump more. The governor talking on Friday at an event about his proposal versus what the legislature has now passed and has not yet sent to him. Joining us now, we have State Representative from District 2, Alex Andrade. That's the southern half of Escambia County, and the beachfront property is over in Santa Rosa County. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew, and welcome to the Twilight Zone.
It's super weird times. I know the governor has been heavy-handed for several years, but the legislature has gone along. It's been a pretty smoothly running operation for the most part. And all of a sudden, it's like, you know, we're off the rails, down the embankment, rolled over and into a ditch trying to figure out what to do here. What I kind of want to do is I just want to play some of the governor and then have you respond. But I'll give you the first, like, 30-second overview. What in the is happening right now? Why is this happening?
I think so. Ultimately, I think it really does come down to ego. I mean, Governor DeSantis is in his final 2 years as governor. He's trying to hold on to like some semblance of, and it comes off more aggressive than it should, but like relevancy. And so he's doing this kind of trip around the state on taxpayer dime, by the way, bringing state agency heads with him all across the state, creating this fake narrative to justify vetoing a bill that would be the strongest immigration bill in the country if he signed it. It's a bill that we've worked on with the Trump administration. So he's trying to create the circumstance that allows him politically to veto this bill for improper purposes when he knows just as well as anybody that this would make Florida an even stronger and the strongest state in the country enforcing illegal immigration.
Watching social media, I see a lot of angry Republicans who are angry at, I think, you guys. They're taking the governor's side. I don't see a lot of people who are angry at the governor and taking your side. But, of course, you know, it's always a question of how well-informed are people or not. And that's kind of why I wanted to have you on today, because he's had his say a lot. And I have tried to represent both sides on this a little bit, but here we go. So first thing, he says, the state of emergency has been crucial to enforcement, and you guys get rid of that.
So the bill the legislature sent me, it actually terminates the state of emergency that's unlocked our ability to do all the things we're currently doing. They want to shut it, just as Donald Trump declared a national emergency at the border, they want to shut down Florida's declaration to say this is an important issue. and basically end all the things these guys have been doing, and they're working very constructively. Now, if you were serious about ending illegal immigration, why the hell would you stop the things we're doing that's been effective? But that's what they wanted to do, terminate. That's in the bill.
Alex Andrade, your response?
We create a chief immigration officer, an elected official, who has the power to declare a state of emergency based on immigration. So what the governor is trying to say is somehow he's going to lose the power to declare a state of emergency on immigration. The governor puts immigration enforcement in the hands of an unelected bureaucrat. What this bill does is put immigration enforcement in the hands of an elected official, someone who answers directly to the voters. In this circumstance, it's the Commissioner of Agriculture. The Commissioner of Agriculture, Wilton Simpson, is very close with President Donald Trump. Wilton Simpson, it's no secret, wants to run for governor in 2 years and is hoping for the Trump endorsement and is incredibly close with the president. If DeSantis really thinks that we're going to do anything or the ag commissioner is going to do anything against Trump, he's, one, lying to voters, and two, no, it doesn't do away with the current state of emergency. It just says that the person in charge of declaring states of emergency for immigration issues is the chief immigration officer of the state.
Okay, so especially considering the future with political goals in mind, and Wilton Simpson was one of the handful of people that threw an after party at the RNC, which is usually I'm trying to be governor party, and you know, so that I can confirm from experience that there's something to that. But let's take this as I think probably the biggest objection to this the legislative bill raised by DeSantis, and in most people's minds is this one.
They eliminated any immigration enforcement from the governor and our state agencies, and really local in many respects, and they lodged it in the Commissioner of Agriculture.
And you hear some vague booing, Wilton Simpson.
First of all, has that ever been done anywhere in the United States? How often is agriculture viewed as leading the fight against illegal immigration? I don't think I've seen that memo yet.
So agriculture hires workers, migrant workers. The agriculture lobby doesn't love, you know, harsh penalties for illegal immigration. Wilton Simpson as the, you know, agriculture chief, you're putting him in charge. And as DeSantis says, that's putting the fox in charge of the hen house, which, of course, I'm sure is a jab at him being a chicken farmer. But, OK, your answer, because this has probably been the biggest one that I think people are having questions about.
Here's the funniest thing is, you know, which industries hire more illegal immigrants than ag? Restaurants, hotels, and construction. And you know who regulates those? The Department of Commerce and Department of Business and Professional Regulation, two agencies whose bureaucrat heads are appointed by the governor. You know who the governor put in charge of enforcement of E-Verify? Those agency heads. The governor's whole argument is he should be allowed to hand choose an unelected bureaucrat to be in charge of this, and that's not the fox guarding the hen house. But somehow an elected official who goes up on the ballot every few years is somehow the fox guarding the hen house. It's a patently ridiculous argument, especially when you realize that the governor's record on E-Verify is miserable. We gave the governor the authority to enforce E-Verify on businesses 4 years ago, and he has sent zero enforcement letters in 4 years. And the whole reason why is he put it in charge. He put the responsibility of enforcement of E-Verify at the Department of Commerce, and they've literally done nothing with it. So the governor's record on enforcement is terrible. His record as an administrator, when you look back on the governor's legacy, it's going to be a lot of, you know, bill signing celebrations. You know, he's signing laws that we passed, the legislature passed. It's not going to be his record on administration. And E-Verify is one perfect example of that.
I'm going to pause you there for just a second. We're talking to Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2. We're going back and forth with what Governor DeSantis said about the immigration fight on Friday and what Alex is responding. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about. If you're traveling on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect about a 5 to 9 minute delay through that area. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. The governor, Alex, back to Alex Andrade. The governor says that you're going to create a new bureaucracy and you're going to have to get permission from ICE before you do, or sorry, permission from the Agriculture Commission before you do any communication with ICE.
If they're working to bust like some illegal alien gang, they wouldn't be able to turn them over to ICE unless the Commissioner of Agriculture gave them approval. Who the hell do they think they are to say they need a mother may I from the Commissioner of freaking Agriculture?
Your response?
I don't know what bill he's looking at or reading, but it's not a bill that's in existence. Literally nothing that he just said in that clip is true. Our local law enforcement departments, our local sheriff's offices across the state already coordinating with ICE and the Department of Homeland Security on a daily basis. All the bill says is that the chief immigration officer has to, you know, make sure that all the 287G contracts that are executed between sheriff's departments and state agencies and ICE have to go through their department so that the contracts across the state are all cohesive and they're not missing anything. It's a paperwork function. It's not an operation function, and it stops zero operational activity on day one. What's kind of sickening is that Governor DeSantis knows this, and yet he's lying to the public anyway. We're putting $500 million in state funds towards illegal immigration enforcement. $500 million. Someone has to administer that money. Someone has to administer those contracts. We decided to designate an elected official, a specific elected official, as the chief immigration officer. And we happen to only have the ag commissioner. He's the only cabinet member in existence right now, because our CFO just is about to be our congressman, and our attorney general just got sworn into the Senate. He made the perfect sense right now at this point in time to go help President Trump. And by the way, our ag commissioner and President Trump are friends. DeSantis is—it's made up. It's the most bizarre thing, Andrew. I've never seen anything like it.
Can you answer one other? I thought you had answered, but somebody texted me and said that you had not. I think people aren't aware, and this is a good point to emphasize. Why put law enforcement powers within the Department of Agriculture? That doesn't seem to make much sense. But there's a fact in this that is actually pretty straightforward. What is it?
Well, one, law enforcement powers are in the executive branch, period. The Ag Commissioner already has law enforcement boots on the ground. 200 sworn law enforcement officers the Ag Commissioner already enforces. He's an elected official, and he's operating contracts. The chief immigration officer is not standing up a whole new mini ICE. I think that's the big thing that people are misconstruing. We're not creating new law enforcement departments by this. We're not creating new employees to like start whole investigatory units and kind of like mimic or shadow ICE. And the big difference conceptually between our bill and the governor's is we're not trying to create some like, you know, minor league B team version of ICE. That's what Governor DeSantis wanted to do. He wanted to create like the minor league version of ICE. What our bill does is say we're going to go empower sheriffs, existing law enforcement agencies. We're going to put $500 million to fund it, and we're going to help them work with ICE and Department of Homeland Security. I have a great example of why that distinction is important, but I can talk about it later in the interview, Andrew.
Fair. Well, we are almost out of time, and I hate that to be the case because this has become so frustrating to me to watch, because it's elected officials who I respect and admire on both sides. And to see you guys squabbling so heavily with each other over something that basically seems like to me should be easy is frustrating. So what's the outcome here? What do you think happens now? The governor hasn't signed the bill or hasn't vetoed the bill, which you guys named the Trump Act, or your leadership named the Trump Act. Have you guys sent it to him? Oh, you know what? I did have one other quick. Are you guys being threatened that if you don't play ball on this, that you won't get funding or chairmanships? Because that's been another allegation that's been made.
No, no one's threatened me for anything.
Okay.
Here's the whole thing. When Trump sent a plane full of illegal immigrants, supported them back to Colombia, and Colombia used to accept them, Trump, because he's the president, could threaten tariffs, and Colombia had to accept them. They sent the Colombian version of Air Force One to go pick them up. DeSantis wanted this weird magical power to be able to fly illegal immigrants to countries, and he asked for a limitation on liability. Literally, he wanted to be exempt from civil liability, but he also wanted to have money and the ability to fly illegal immigrants to foreign countries on his own. when that foreign country refused Ron DeSantis, he's a governor. He doesn't have the ability to tariff. You know what's going to happen? Our state-funded plane is going to be sent home with its tail between its legs, and it's going to create embarrassment. Ultimately, like with a lot of this stuff, we're trying to save the governor the embarrassment of circumstances like that. He seems to think we're still a state working under the Biden administration, and he doesn't seem to realize that Trump is in the president's office now. We have to go work with Trump. We don't have to set up our own separate wannabe federal departments. We just have to go help the president do what the president said he was going to do. That's what our bill does, and that's what Governor DeSantis doesn't seem to understand.
So what's going to happen now? Is he going to veto it? Is he going to sign it? I mean, and then if he does veto it, then what?
I think what the governor is terrified of is President Trump weighing in. Because I think the governor knows that if President Trump weighs in, he's going to tell DeSantis to sign it. So I think right now what the governor is trying to do is create political cover by lying about us, like using taxpayer dollars, going this taxpayer-funded tour around the state, lying about us in this bill to try and create enough political cover to still veto it. But, I mean, there's a chance President Trump weighs in, and I think if President Trump weighs in, he's going to say, great bill, why isn't Ron signing it? And if that happens, I think Ron's going to have a difficult couple weeks.
So it might well be that Trump is letting him basically extend the rope until the point where he's going to say sign the bill, and then he's going to have to, or else. Wow.
I've seen President Trump do more brilliant things, but this would be at this point a pretty funny one if that's what President Trump did.
Well, and, you know, honestly, out of everything you said, aside from the sort of fact explanation, the business about Wilton Simpson wanting to be governor and doing that in 2 years in the middle of the Trump term, meaning that he has to have Trump's support for this, meaning that he wouldn't dare do something contrary to it. That's a very, you know, sort of from a motivational point of view, that catches my attention. Alex Andrade is our state representative for District 2. Alex, as always, thank you for being so available and always, you know, having useful things to contribute to the conversation. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon, sir. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Andrew. 7:55 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about. We're seeing just some minor backups on I-10 eastbound as you roll from Pine Forest through Highway 29, about a 5 to 7 minute delay. Also, traffic is backing up if you're heading from Highway 90 from Pace into Pensacola. You're going to start seeing some traffic backups right as you get to the 9 mile scenic split off there. So just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in Thursday at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Sundays, you get Christian Outlook at 7, Ask the Preacher at 8, Town Hall Review, Fox News Sundays a weekend, Tech It Out, and Gun Talk at 8.
I'd hit it again because that shot was a defining moment. And when a defining moment comes along, you define the moment, or the moment defines you.
Good morning, 7:50. 8:58 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Spence Golden Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, there's reports that the Trump administration is setting a quota for ICE agents, asking for 1,800 arrests per day. Democrats fear that pressure could lead to citizens or people with green cards being swept up in the raids.
In New Jersey, for example, there was a U.S. citizen veteran who was detained and had his military credentials questioned.
That's Congressman Joaquin Castro from Texas, and he pointed to other operations which have had that happen.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Sheriff Bob Johnson, Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. What does he think about the idea of establishing a property tax funding source for his agency called an MSTU? Talk about that with him coming up next. Stick around.